Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. We are back after, six weeks of having a bit of a break, and, well, Steve got bored and wanted to record, so he's dragged us all along out of our semi-retirement, and we are back to spit some fire. Just having a look at what we got right and wrong in our drafts, those players that have hit and missed, and some trends and who or what has surprised us in the first 5 weeks of AFL football. And to do all the things talking this week, Stevie Fizz, how you doing, mate? And how's the Stevie Fizz 2 Electric Boogaloo going?
Oh, they're in Melbourne this weekend, so it's fucking great, man. It's like Tom Cruise, undies. Busting eggs, having sex with Rebecca De Mornay. It's good. It's good.
Tons of Harvest Lane?
No Harvest Lane. I've got this Chivas Regal, Mizunara, and probably get cancelled for saying it like that. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Nice. Very nice. And he's all the way up in, I don't know where the hell he is. Looks like his lounge room. It is the Statesman. Welcome, mate.
Well, it's great to be back, and thank you for delaying the recording, to be honest, but I've just spent the last 10 days touring around NT and had an absolute ball and enjoyed a couple of cooler nights in Alice Springs, which I must admit is enjoyable after having nearly every single night for the last 6 months being over 25 degrees when I go to bed. So it was nice to have a nice kip.
It's 8 degrees here in Melbourne, so everything's fine.
Yes.
And, well, I suppose we were doing a pod and had to invite him along. It is the third McLaughlin. Welcome to you, Cam.
You just can't shake it. You just can't shake it. And like it's 22 degrees up here, by the way. Lovely 22 degrees. You can take your 8 and shove it.
I like my 8. I like 8. Yeah. Rugged up and... You know, you can always get warm, but you can't cool down. Like, if you don't have aircon, you're fucked.
Yeah, it's true, but that's why everyone in Brisbane has aircon. I think what's really interesting about this, right? So, ever since I joined the podcast, Jono's been wearing the same jumper every single time, regardless of weather. And he's, you know, in true Farnsy style, he's bringing back the exact jumper for this recording as well. I applaud your consistency.
It is the probably only jumper I own. I have one jumper. It is the Hawaii of University. University of Hawaii. I'm reading that upside down. It's like, Steve, you've got one jumper.
Yeah, I've got a nice white. And it's a running joke within the league.
Yep. Why buy a new one when you've got something that's like Old Faithful? You just chuck it on and it does the job. It is paper thin. I would never step outside with it, but it's fine.
Jono's like me. We're not style masters. We're frugal men.
You look like you were in, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and you're wearing the trench coat, Steve.
It's That's fucking cold, like, man. Right, I'm in the Fizz Cave. I haven't got the fire going. I need the fire going. It's fucking cold, man.
Meanwhile, Stato and I are just sitting here in T-shirts.
Yeah, but I'll take it. Because, you know, when you buy, how many Nickelback CDs did you get when you bought that aircon? Like, isn't that a thing in Queensland, or...
That's actually what the foundations of the house are built on.
Nickelback CDs, just piles and piles of them. I mean, they're not going anywhere, so that's solid at least.
It's very solid.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into talking what we got right and wrong in our drafts. And I'm going to kick it off and just saying I got fucking nothing right. Absolutely nothing. Because I'm in our home league, I'm generally up the pointy end of the ladder, just going undefeated, maybe losing one or two games. But I'm in the battle for the wooden spoon this year because I changed my tack. Normally, I'm a pretty safe vanilla drafter, but I've got my Yos, I've got my Whitfield, I've got Prestia. Danger hasn't hit the mark. Boak not hitting the mark. So I'm expecting them to come good, but yeah, I've just completely shit the bed in my draft this year.
I think I remember doing a podcast and someone asked me about in the draft leagues, what do you do with players like Whitfield that are starting? And I said, no. You actually hold station with them. They're only going to miss 2 or 3 weeks at the most and they're actually going to end up being a top six defender. But That's obviously, what are we, round six this week and still no Whitfield?
Yeah, and that's the reason why I grabbed him. I thought, well, 2 to 3 weeks, it'll be fine. But now it's, what, round seven or eight, we'll see him. And he probably won't actually hit his straps until maybe after the bye round. So it's, yeah.
Phil Davis today, I think, tweeted out that he hopes to see him back this week or next. And you'd figure that he's probably got a week in the NEFL or the VFL or the VFL?
It's the NEFL.
Yeah, he's got a week there, I'd suggest.
But no, it's a VFL, isn't it?
The VFL, yeah.
Yeah, VFL.
Yeah. What I got right, I guess, was punting forwards. And it's actually been really healthy. You know, everyone sort of went into the draft thinking that they need to secure one or two of the, or three of the big forwards that that existed because it was so thin. But I think I got lucky with it. Punting forwards meant that I was probably the only person that was searching for the waiver early for a forward. And it meant that, you know, key forwards, who have been really good, like Tom Mack, Aaron Norton, a few others in your AFL fantasy format, Jarman Impey, for example, completely undrafted, Josh Battle has been averaging about 82 or 3 in the last couple. Being able to pick all these guys up and have like a really competitive forward line while still having a really strong defense.
And I think we said right at the start, Cam, we were doing our top 10s in our ranking and we just thought it was shit afterwards. Right now, I know it's still only a small sample size, but we've got 60 players averaging over that magical 70 number in the forwards. It's just, it's almost phenomenal.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you couldn't have seen it coming pre-season, but I guess the points had to go somewhere. And the one thing that I've been noticing is that defenders and forwards just almost across the board have got like a 10-point bump. Like, it's just the mids have come back a little bit and the forwards and defenders have moved up a little bit. What about you, Steve? What'd you get right?
Avoid injured players in your draft. Like,
yeah,
I think anyone who took a punt and took a couple of injured guys who slid, the injuries across the board, and they're not just 1 to 2 week injuries, they're 6 to 8 to 10 plus week injuries to star players. It's compounded a problem. And, you know, Jono, I know in our home league, there's people who are holding 3+ injured players on their team, and you can't afford to do it, in my opinion, in a 4-man bench situation. I'm sitting, like, personally, I'm sitting here, I really just avoided it. I mean, my team's kind of vanilla, but I just don't have those problems, and I'm super glad I don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as we've seen throughout the season, the injuries do compound. Like, I drafted a few of these injured players and also happened to have Patrick Dangerfield got rubbed out for 4 weeks, as well as Nick Vlosten. I've had to throw Nick Vlosten back in the pool. This is in Supercoach, who averages 90. So there's a 90 averaging defender just sitting in the pool for anyone who wants him.
Yeah, I had the same thing. So I took Whitfield as well. But in my first picks, I had Max Gawn, Taylor Adams, and Whitfield. And then add to that Xavier Dersma, Adam Chera, and James Rowbottom. And all of a sudden, like, you can't field a team unless you start to trade.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, some of that is bad luck, of course, but you're actually picking players. Like, Taylor Adams, to me, just needs to, in any draft format, drop right down the board. I mean, yes, his potential's there, but he's so unreliable with the body. So Steve's actually spot on the mark here. You just don't pick the ones with the risk. You're much better off having solid players. And it's not your one or two stars that win you a premiership in draft. It's actually the reliable squad. The 22 get you across the line.
Well, and I think the thing for me this year is how many times do you hear in previous seasons, oh, I had a good preseason, didn't miss a session, that's why I had a good year. None of these guys have had what was previously considered a full preseason. The whole league had a short preseason, and that was why.
Yeah, cool.
What about you, Stato? What'd you get right?
What did I get right? Well, I ended up drafting, and I just went the option. I wanted to go for players that were both inside and out. So I went for two theories with this. And to be honest, and I think most of us didn't really understand the impact of the new rules that were going to take place. But what we were concentrating on a little bit was the extension of the quarter. So going, reflecting on last year, because everyone ends up drafting of what the result was the previous year. You look at their average, look how many people picked Lachie Neale to go so early in the drafts. And that was in relation to his previous year. But what I concentrated on was the runners, and I concentrated really on the ins and the outs. So people that play inside and outside, I thought that they were the key, and that has proven pretty strong so far. So your merit types are the ones that I was picking to be the number one midfielder, and he's right up there at the moment. Players like Lachie Scholl, Brandon Ellis, would you believe? He's a player that isn't sexy pick at all, so you can actually get him in the later round, 6, 7, 8, 9 in some drafts. And I think I'm only involved in 2 redraft leagues. I got him in both and got him late, and here he is averaging 109 as we speak.
Far out. Big.
Not bad at all. Any misses though, Stato?
Yeah, plenty of misses. One key one is the Bulldogs effect. So Treloar coming in, I just got all a bit shaky of who's going to hit out. We're not going to know. Well, here we are sitting after 5 rounds. Dunks is the highest scorer in AFL fantasy. McRae's number 3. Adam Treloar is actually sitting in the top 10 for the last 3 rounds. And, of course, he was... obviously started on the outside because of the limited pre-season and just slowly built up his CBAs. Now he's one of their prime movers. So if you look at the past 3 rounds, in the top 10 from the Bulldogs is Dunk, McRae and Treloar. And Bont gets a bit of attention, but Bont's performance has been pretty good too. So I went to the stage and ended up avoiding those Bulldogs players or just taking them if they were quite late. And here we are. We're totally wrong, and certainly I was.
Well, isn't it funny with the Bulldogs players? We all thought, ah, shit, you know, McRae, Dunkley, Bont, and that they're going to underperform and it's Lachie Hunter season. It's gone the other way around. It's Lachie Hunter's just playing small forward and just absolutely nowhere near what we've seen him and getting no wing time whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other advantage of that is he is all getting forward status for those competitions that have the change of structure. So all you need is the 1 or 2 injuries, and they do happen throughout the year, and you've got potentially a top 5, top 6 forward sitting on your hands. But, yeah, it seems to be, although it wasn't like it round 1 or 2, but it seems to be Smith and Hunter that got the sort of the different roles that have hurt their scoring a little bit.
Yeah, Bailey Smith's been permanent wing throughout the year, so I think they've rotated that other wingman has been Treloar, Johannesson, Jarray, and Lachie Hunter. So it's...
And the Daly Bale. He's been outstanding, by the way, Bailey Dale. Really, really good.
And Bailey Williams is gone, so suck on that, Doss.
Jesus.
Yeah, the DOS
effect.
Yeah, the DOS boys aren't going too well. Although I will say, there's
McCluggage is probably the only one that's stood out.
Oh, and McCluggage is probably my only miss. I actually traded him to DOS in our keeper league last year because I just thought I didn't think his ceiling was going to be there. But the rule changes, the extended quarters, is actually talking about those that are both in and out. McCluggage has been one of those key kickers. So he's really pumped up the leaderboard. I mean, he's sitting in the top 25 scorers in the competition this year. Top 20 overall, clearly. So I've got that one wrong as well. So I thought McCluggage might be stopping at a 95 to 100. Well, he's showing he might have a bit more fantasy chops than I first thought.
Steve, you were big on McCluggage pre-season, I thought, with the rule changes.
Yeah, I was. So, and it was hard, man. Like, those first 2 weeks, he was shit. Like, his scores were really bad. But you know, it's worked out. So, and he's in both my salary cap teams.
Good pickup.
All right, moving on from players, just any sort of trends that we've noticed throughout the first 5 weeks of football.
Collingwood
stream option.
Just not talking about defenders v Collingwood because everyone knows that, but Collingwood in general just dropping off the face of the planet as a fantasy powerhouse. Like they every year you back them to be one of the highest fantasy scoring teams, and they're just
so far down. But it can't be surprising.
I think how far they've dropped off, I think, is surprising. It's like a third to 16th style drop in fantasy scoring.
Can't be surprising to me. You know why, Steve? Pardon?
Do you think it returns?
Their scoring. Well, yeah. I don't think they're a top team anymore.
Agreed.
And I actually think a lot of the anger directed towards Collingwood is maybe ill-considered. I think they were actually, you know, maybe the salary cap thing happened, and I'm not defending Collingwood here, but I actually think maybe they were actually self-aware and went, you know what, we might not win a premiership with this crew. We might just be like one of those semi-final type teams. Hit the draft, yeah. Went back to the draft. They know they've got Nick Daicos coming through. They might have just been self-aware and said, look, we've got a good mix of experienced guys. Let's just hit the draft and come through. So I didn't expect them to be good this year. I can't be shocked. You know, and they've traded out one of the premier midfielders of the competition. Taylor Adams is injured. Their other two premier midfielders are freaking 1,000 years old.
Yeah, and I think we also need to actually give them a little breather too. So when they were making these list management decisions, rightly or wrongly, they weren't understanding of what the rule changes were going to be. So their game style and their setup and probably their list in a way too hasn't been able to take advantage of the rules. Where you look at Adelaide... Now, they're probably overachieving right now, but you look at an Adelaide, the rule changes actually have assisted what they were developing themselves. So Taylor Walker finally fit again, always been a pretty decent one-on-one player, but never really had the ball movement to actually get him back in the game, and nor did he have those uninterrupted pre-seasons for a few years. But we're seeing the best Taylor Walker that we could possibly have, one, because of the rule changes, and two, because a little bit of luck that the rule changes suit their game plan, and he's at his full fitness. So Collingwood, I think we can all agree, never really had that key forward that was always dominating. They found a mix to kick goals, and it was their on-ballers, their little small forwards, their makeshift forwards in Elliott and Dugowie, those types. It was always something a bit different. All of a sudden, your key forwards are back in the game and they haven't got one. And they're also lacking or have little less to draw on from their midfield. So all of a sudden, and a few injuries and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, they're struggling.
Just touching on that with the return of the key forwards, it's interesting. A lot of teams now are going with the three-tall setup. We've seen it with West Coast, with Darling, Kennedy, and now Oscar Allen. The Bulldogs, even though they've had a lack of talls forever and a day, they're rolling three-talls. Port Adelaide, Sydney, even though with their young kids, are rolling. It's all the three. The power forwards seem to be back in vogue now. And if you've got the quick ball movement, your Western Bulldogs, your Port Adelaide, they can get it in there quickly, and that's why we're seeing big bags and the key forward scoring so well.
Yeah, and the quicker you actually have the ball movement, the less chance you've got of the extra numbers or the intercept markers to interfere. So when clubs actually slow play, chip, 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 and then go the long kick down the line, that's when you bring in the intercept markers. So that's when a McGovern, and this is a key thing for streaming players, so when a McGovern's playing a team that feels under pressure and kicking long, he's going to score really high. when they're quick and hitting targets, all of a sudden he's going to have a really poor game. So there's a real risk factor with some of your back line, your intercept markers, etc., because they can find themselves, depending on the match style, of being a potential high scorer. Look at CJ on the weekend, scored a 38, and the last two or three weeks he got tons.
Yeah, exactly right. Also, that's right, I forgot what I was going to say. It's fine.
There's been a number of these guys. There's been a number of interceptors who have maybe not become useless, but really hard to hold on a week to week basis.
Yeah, the only one that's really gone against that trend has been the lucky pick that Cam got last year's draft in Ridley.
Oh, Jake Lever's playing pretty lights out. Well,
but he's also had he's also had his 30s and 40s.
The guys who have had the direct in Supercoach, he's been lights out. The guys who have had the direct opponents who they can beat, they're the ones who have still shone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I tried to see if I can get Cam to bite there, but nothing.
Nothing at all. I've just built resilience. While you guys have been spending your time away doing everything but, I've sat here building resilience for the statesman's return.
What are your thoughts on the wingman dying in our game with this new stand rule? Like, the only one we've seen, Gaff, even though he's been sort of up and down, he's been okay, but most wingmans are just dead, really.
Plug's a wingman.
Brandon
Ellis. Lockie Scholes. Don't give me that. Come out of this pod with this Brandon Ellis shit.
Brandon,
he is.
At the end of the day, I think it depends on the club's style. So, from what I understand, that Gaff rounds one and two was playing a team orientated wing role. In other words, he was staying as the outlet, which actually kept space through the middle of the ground. Now, we all saw that there was a bit of a heated discussion, etc. And I think that was, I need to be more than just, so I can create more for the team if I'm used as that link player. So give me the freedom not to be on the one side of the ground. So I think an Andy Brayshaw sort of plays that role. So that's why I can have some real down games. But I think the others, so it depends on which club and which role you're playing, but those that are playing wingmen that they want to be a link-up player and they want to go through and they want to get their ball in their hands, they're doing really well.
Yeah, like, and I think that's a super coach thing as well. Like, in Dream Team, these guys like Ed Langdon and so forth, they're fine.
Crushing it.
Yeah. In super coach, they're still just, you know, 90-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we tagged it early in the season, the inside mids resting forward. We did see in the salary cap games a lot of the inside mids get forward status. I think we saw Fife, Josh Kelly. Did Track get forward status? Or
no.
Not yet. Yeah, we've seen Cripps, Petraka, Bont all resting forward instead of the bench now. And we can see what they do. Like, Petraka's probably averaging, I don't know the numbers, probably 1.5, 2 goals a game. Bont, we know, can kick 2 or 3 goals a game. We've seen that early on this season. So I think that was something we tagged. And if you got these guys, you'd be laughing all the way to the bank, except for Paddy Cripps, who we all, I think except for Cam, said was going to be good, but we all said he was going to be shit.
No, I was all over Cripps in the preseason, to be honest.
I thought it was Cam, sorry.
But isn't it weird with... So all the talk last year is we trimmed him down, we want to make him into a runner, shorten the quarters. They lengthen the quarters and change the rules and go, no, we didn't like him as a runner, so now we'll concentrate on building strength and bring him inside. So maybe they should have gone the other way both seasons and maybe would have got the best out of him. But I also think there's a lot of attention going on, and maybe them sacrificing him a little bit and just concentrating on the inside and let the outside players go for it may be the right move in the long term, but the mix isn't right there for Carlton at the moment. Doss's boy didn't help.
Well, one of the things with Carlton, and I've been pretty staunchly defending Cripps, is I sort of worked on this new, well, not new, but this model about, you know, I'm all about the internal competition and all that sort of thing. And it was always going to be hard for Cripps to continue succeeding at the level he has. And I've sort of established thresholds like of contested possession and kicks that are really impossible to sustain. As that team gets better, there was no way he could get better for fantasy without developing his outside game, which he'd never shown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So, like, he should be more Ben Cunnington than Tom Mitchell.
Yeah. And there's a potential that we harshly treat him because of that. So when Ben Cunnington pulls out a 30-possession game and, you know, five tackles and does all the hard stuff, we pay him, how good's this bloke? Cripps can do the same thing, but because we expect him to score 20 points more than Cunnington, they go, yeah, another average game by Cripps. So maybe we've created this level for him that is very hard to achieve and the type of player he actually is.
Yeah.
But don't as fantasy players, we just do that anyways. We go, well, he's had one good... Yeah, look at the Josh Kelly hype. Like, he's always injured. He's just shit. Never going to own him, but he's a guy averaging 120.
We've already proved over the last two seasons, if you want to win our keeper league, you trade out Josh Kelly.
Well, the way I'm tracking Stato, I don't need Josh Kelly and I don't need to trade him out.
Yeah, well, we should mention that because there's one bloke that we hate in the draft doctors, and that's We Got Big Cox. Now, I'm not saying I'm still salty after one loss in a grand final 5 years ago, but if we were to analyse this, it could be down to that point. But seeing we hate this bloke, it was really good to see, Jono, for you to get the highest score ever recorded in the Draft Doctors Keeper League, 1904, cool. I think it was. It was around that mark. To beat We Got Big Cox that I think kicked him out of the top six. So it was absolutely beautiful to watch. So congratulations to you, Jono. Very proud of you.
Yeah, I got my boys, Pollock, you know, Charlie Dixon, just sitting on the bench. I just can't get him on the team. Just can't get him on. William Drew, just Hogan, Steve's boy, Jesse Hogan, just can't get him on the team. I
just brought in Matty Rowe, no big deal.
That's all right.
Matty Rowe, number one ruck. Brody Groney, number one defender. Jack Bowes, no worries. My team's sick.
I've got Jamara. Hey? I've got Jamara. I'll see him in about 3 years' time.
Well, I've got Riley Thorpe.
Can we just say a few sad words after probably one of the best first quarter displays ever seen in history by my boy Zach Butters? Looked like he was steaming away for a good score of 150, and the old ankle injury got him, unfortunately, late in the second quarter, and really sad to see, but a nice 80-odd in the first half. I was a sad boy that day, and it's taken me a couple of weeks to get over it.
3 to 4 weeks, Stato. 3 to 4 weeks, he's back.
Yeah, no, he's sitting the pine. I'm sending little cards on a daily basis. We'll get him up.
Good to hear. And moving on, probably to the last part of the show, players who have surprised us, either for the good and for the bad, I suppose, as well. And I guess it's, for me, Jack Zeeble. I did not expect that from him.
Captain of Jagtown, look at him.
With Dave Swallow close behind, but yeah, he won right out of the box for me. Tex, we knew he had it in him, but actually didn't see that coming. And some that really haven't lived up to the hype, I suppose, is Tom Phillips. We all thought he was going to be the man, but hasn't really happened. I don't think he's cracked a ton this year.
No, and I think I've got him in everything. I just, out in the wing. Oh, look, I wasn't expecting miracles, but I thought we'd just get a nice low 90s average with nothing really spectacular, occasional ton here and there, but have a sort of a floor of a 78. But, you know, it's about all he's averaging, to be fair.
Yeah, especially with Hawthorn's game plan, it just, yeah, completely surprised me.
So the one that surprised me a little bit, and maybe more so because Jed Anderson and Cunnington haven't really been around, Jai Simkin has been really poor. Like, really, really poor. He's averaged 77.6 to date. And that's just about what he averaged last year in the shorter game time. So it's just that I kind of thought that he'd go mid-90s.
Is it a role or tank issue?
I think it's role. I think it's more he's playing just pure inside and he's not getting that outside ball.
I was going to say, not enough injuries to give him a good opportunity at North Melbourne this year.
Well, he's got the opportunity, but it's the wrong role, right?
Yeah, sorry, sarcasm, but it's all right, Cam. If you're not going to pick up, it's all good.
Fucking resilience. Keep it together. Keep it together.
I just don't think he's a what's your thoughts on Blake Hardwick? Real deal?
I reckon he's one of these players that is actually a really good football player. But whether he's actually a really good fantasy football player may be a different thing.
You know what's underrated is the ability to find space. And it seems like a dirty word in the way people talk about football. But, man, the ability to find space, and this is why I like the veteran players a lot this year, like guys like Pendles and Selwood and that. They know how to find space. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree with it. Can we just give praise to one bloke? Dave Mundy.
Yes.
How good, not only how good is he going in fantasy football, but how's he going in real footy? 35 years of age. That's just remarkable. I'm just so impressed. And it's one of these players, I wish he played for a big Melbourne club. Because
in the face of the Fremantle Football Club, Stato.
No. It's actually the other way because I don't reckon he gets the praise that he actually should.
Well, it's like Matthew Pavlich. I don't think he gets the praise over here in the eastern states as what he did over there in Western Australia. Like us as fantasy players thinks he was absolutely brilliant, but if you ever watched him live, he was an absolute fucking gun.
Yeah, he was a superstar. Exactly. Yeah. And look, don't get me wrong. There will be enough love in WA for him no matter what. So don't get confused in the matter. But I think the Eastern Seaboard model, some of those sort of get swallowed up. So players that play for Queensland, New South Wales, South Australia, and WA at times probably don't get the praise until there's, you know, a major milestone.
I don't know. He's probably kicked a match-winning goal against every club, so they probably know David Mundy.
Yeah, no doubt. but we seem to talk about others a lot more often.
Who's been some of the players who have surprised you, Steve?
Yeah, I didn't know who Lachie Scholl was heading into the year. So that one.
That's you and me both, Steve.
Yeah. To be fair, he got a Rising Star nomination, so there may be a fair reason why.
No one knows what that is. Brandon Ellis being good, that was shocking. Brayden Maynard being just unrosterable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I got a few. Are we going to do things we got wrong, or are we just, these are the surprises?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
What'd you get wrong, mate?
So Nick Caulfield, just unrosterable. Jared Witts, before the injury, it was like fucking balling out. I totally botched that. And unfortunately, I have him in my home league. I've captained him every single week because I got to keep the faith. But Josh Kelly has been fucking shit to own.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I say this is a tale of woe, but... my number one ruck in our keeper league, Draft Doctors Keeper League, was Jared Witts. My 2IC, my support band was Tom Hickey. So I had it pretty covered. So I thought, you know, no, I'm solid as houses, and you know, you got a probably a top five ruck for the next 4 or 5 years. And the amount that I spent last year, Cam, and thought I'd rectify. So Andy McGrath and Timmy Taranto went on to get Mr. Worldwide and Jared Witts, and I thought, no, I'm happy because I've got a really good midfield. There's no doubts about it. I'm happy I've spent that, but you've actually spent Tim Taranto and Andy McGrath and now got nothing.
So, Stato, I just want to... I have Mr. Worldwide again.
How... Get fucked.
he's already hit me up for TDK, so don't worry.
Yeah, no. If you could give me TDK... for steak knives, then we're talking. But yeah, no, it's a sale tab. But the good thing is, the person we hate the most, we got Big Cox, did give me Zach Merritt, Hugh McCluggage, Matt Crouch, who I unsold, Hugh McCluggage, who I unsold, for Lockie Neal, Taylor Adams, and Braden Maynard. So I feel, even though I lost big time in the ruck movements, so I've come out the other side A-OK. But look, they both look good on paper, but he's had a rotten luck with form and injury, unfortunately.
Mm. Fair enough. I got to say, Timmy Taranto in Supercoach has not been great this year.
He's shit at Supercoach. Maybe got that one wrong. We told you that.
Yeah.
We told you that.
He's in a dream team.
No, I didn't listen. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, he's definitely an AFL fantasy star. That's what he is. That's his bag. But who is travelling well with GWS in Supercoach?
No one. Toby Green's been fine. But
Callum Ward the last 2 weeks?
Because he keeps 1-7.
No, because he's a fucking gun.
Yeah, guns kick 1-7. That's what they do.
Wow, that's not good.
Lucky 13.
Shane Mumford. He's been good.
Super yeah,
good.
Shane Mumford.
Shane Mumford, Callum Ward, Toby Green. That's it.
The cum dog.
Shane Mumford's hurt me a lot in Classic, I've got to tell you.
No one's been good for Supercoach, because Supercoach, you know, you got to win to get the points. And
they've won the last two games. Surely they would have.
But have you seen
points.
How they've played?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, the not defenders good. Balled out against Collingwood. Lockie Ash. Am I right?
Yeah. He's going to be good, and that was a really good call, Steve, because you've been on him for a while.
I've got to say, I've been pretty happy with my Oscar Allen call. That's been working pretty well for me. Not that I own any shares in him, but...
Holy shit. I didn't even set a lineup last week or the week before in the Keeper League, and I'm 5-0, boys.
Oh, see, you knocked off Stato.
I've got like...
I didn't even set a lineup.
You know the weird thing of the draw? I had to play the top team, so Ladybugs, then Jono, and then Cam. So the three top teams in a row. So I'm always sitting second or third
because yeah,
I'm playing all the hard teams. But
I had two DMPs.
No, it was good. And with his Ridley 15, I thought, you beauty, I've got in, because my team didn't suck. He just had some major big scores this week.
And Maxi Gorn as captain, I'd imagine. Yeah, that would have helped.
That helped.
Man. I've got to get some trades moving in that league. I've got like half a team, but I've got some good youngsters.
I've got some players for you, mate.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
TDK. Now, you're not going to get rid of Grundy, so why keep TDK?
I might trade Grundy and keep TDK.
Okay, let's talk, buddy.
No, I don't fucking talk to you. I talk to the other saps.
Oh.
Saps. Yeah, I've got
just,
a Darcy
just
Tucker.
When I thought we were mates.
Anyone want a Luke McDonald? He's good for a 4.
Yeah, no thanks.
Anything else we've noticed or anything like that?
Did you actually ask for questions from the listeners, or we've decided not to tell them we're actually
No,
recording?
We're not going to do it, and I'm not even going to post the show on Twitter. I'm just going to let them find it organically. And whoever finds it,
we didn't say we were recording. I just said the band. And you just like you said,
whoever finds it, good for them.
Yeah, it's a bonus episode, and we only bag.
But don't release it like
times,
this week. So. Wait like a week and a half, and just slot it in there on like a Sunday night or something like that.
I'll put it out tonight at like midnight.
Beautiful.
Make them white. I've just destroyed this Chivas Regal and it's unedited and I've just put so, the intro is the entire You're the Voice so we get banned from iTunes.
So I pose one question now because we haven't discussed it, so I have no fucking idea what the answer to the question is. When's the next time we're actually recording something, Steve?
Me?
Yes. Well, the timetable's about you, so it was you that said, let's get the band back together, and we all said yes.
You're breaking up, Stato.
He just begged.
You broke up completely. I couldn't hear a word you said then.
Right. So you just That wasn't a bit.
You broke up completely.
So I'm asking the question, Steve, when are we next recording a Draft Doctors podcast?
I don't know. See, it's actually been funny because the girls were away this weekend, so obviously I was completely free.
Yeah.
But now we've got the baby, I'm watching a hell of a lot of football. And I feel I feel more well-versed in discussing fantasy football as a result, hard to believe. So
the answer to the question is the next time the girls are out of town is the next time we're recording a podcast.
Well, I don't know. I'll be back in Melbourne in May.
I was going to say, you're down in May. Maybe jump in. Want to come around here and record something?
Ooh, I guess we could. I don't know.
Could do something.
I don't know. What do you guys want to do?
Whenever
the mood strikes. So I feel like Stato wants to be more regular.
Should have some more music then, buddy.
Mate, I've got Nutribullet. I'm always regular.
That's a worry.
That's a worry.
It's what you need when you get old, I guess. I got an MRI next week, so we'll find out if I have a tumor or not, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I hope that all goes well for you, mate.
Me too.
And on that note, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Look after yourselves. Hopefully we don't have any more COVID interruptions and we get through. Don't be a DOS when the opportunity comes. Vax up.
Don't be a DOS.
Is he anti-vax?
I don't know. I'm only guessing. That's the type he would be. That'll be his dilemma one day.
Do you want to get vaccinated? No. Oh, my God.
You're not going to get vaccinated?
No.
Why?
Well, I mean, that woman just died the other day.
It's 1 in 3 million.
They're also AstraZeneca. I'm pretty certain only Stato's in the 60-plus range, right?
Hey, now hold the shit down, Cam.
Told you I haven't been building resilience. It's no resilience.
This is not part of the deal. You don't take the piss out of me. It's the other way around, buddy.
AstraZeneca, they're halting anyway. So we'll,
No. In Melbourne, it's like, here's Jeff Shed. It's going to be like the drive-through of just mass vaccination central. They're just really ramping it up here in Melbourne.
All I'm suggesting is we do the right thing, get over COVID, so we can all return back to our semi-normal lives, which hopefully means less bagging from Cam.
Stato, I can see the guy with the gun in your back.
Yeah.
What's going on? Why is it buckling?
You know me, always.
Why is it bucks?
Always the company man. The company man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling great about the vaccine, I've got to be honest.
Don't say that. Do the right thing, peoples. We need to look after everyone's physical and mental health. Wrap her up, Jono.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you whenever we can be bothered again.
See you guys.
Don't get vaccinated.